This is Liz Scafidi at UN News. Although Afghanistan's COVID-19 crisis is vast, what people really want are jobs and security, according to a senior UN relief official. In an interview with UN News' Daniel Johnson, the UN Development Program's representative there, Abdallah Dardari, explains how the agency is already helping the government to confront the pandemic and supporting the rising number of families falling into poverty.
The first thing you could notice in Afghanistan that the country is at the cusp of potential peace process, and now it's moving forward with that peace process. The COVID-19, it did set back some progress in attainment of the SDGs, improvement in economic growth, improvement in institutional setups and efficiencies. The COVID-19 was a shock that set back many of those nascent and modest achievements. So,
right. So how many, I'm sorry to interrupt, but what, around 35,000 official cases of COVID infection, but likely much greater really given the lack of testing.
Indeed. We follow the infection scenarios by the Ministry of Public Health, and they vary between the official figure and about 12 million infections. So this is a vast, vast pandemic in Afghanistan.
So in your travels, I don't know how much you get around the country, and I'm not sure what your access is across the country, given security considerations, but what are people telling you? What do they need now most urgently?
Even though COVID-19 is a tremendous challenge, people need two immediate things, security and jobs. And they remain the top challenges, at least in the minds of the people, which require a lot of communication and advocacy about the risks of COVID-19. But people are in such dire economic situation and such dire security threats that until now, most of the people you meet tell you our first priority is jobs and security.
But you're suggesting that according to a UN Development Programme report, the impact of the pandemic will cause a 6.25% fall in gross domestic product. The economy is going to take a nosedive because of the pandemic, and it's going to see the poverty rate surged by 13% to 68%, so nearly 7 out of 10 people in the country. What is the UN trying to do to turn that situation around?
First is to help the government in its efforts to halt and contain the pandemic. So there is what we call the first wave, dealing with the infections, providing PPEs, providing support to the health system. Secondly, there is the recovery, and especially the early recovery. The UN is working on a number of packages for social protection, immediate social protection, to reduce the negative impact on poverty. And as you can see from the reports we are putting out, we are building a number of those direct cash transfers to the elderly, direct cash transfers to SMEs, in addition to what the World Bank and the Asian Development Bank are building with the government. And then there is the real recovery that should be linked to longer-term development. Yes, SDGs, for example, have taken a serious hit in Afghanistan, but it doesn't mean we give up on SDGs. So we need to link COVID-19 recovery to the overall development planning and outlook of the country.
You talk about SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, which the international community agreed to at the end of 2015. You've said, I've seen you quoted, that this is really an opportune moment to fundamentally transform and strengthen the Afghan economy and reducing the probability of likely social unrest. How are young people feeling at the moment in the country? What is the level of concern about their future?
There is very high levels of anxiety about the future, about the economic future, for a simple reason that they see also that COVID-19 has affected all countries in the world, especially donor countries. And they are concerned, and their concerns are justified, that aid to Afghanistan will not flow as it used to be before COVID-19. And, you know, we are about to have a pledging conference on Afghanistan in November. So that's one big source of concern, which means that the government and donors have to agree to a different approach to funding development in Afghanistan. And that's why UNDP is leading the work on SDG finance to try to bring innovative financing to fund developments in the country.
Now, the UNDP, the UN Development Programme, has said that the government in Afghanistan needs around $250 million to tackle the impacts of COVID, the socioeconomic impacts, including the health impacts, I suppose, with 15% of Afghanistan's 37 million people lacking hospitals in their neighbourhoods. So that's a big problem. What is the UN's emergency plan for when the funding runs out, if indeed it does?
Well, first, let me tell you that the numbers are, the situation is more dire than you what you presented. The $250 million is only the available funds needed by the government in order to immediately deal with the direct impact of COVID-19. This is not for socioeconomic recovery. And the government transferred this money from other needs in the country. So it immediately affected other sectors. And as you saw from our work, we estimate the impact of this transfer of the $250 million by a reduction of 1.3 percentage points of GDP. That is dramatic. And donors need to be able to provide that funding. And at the same time, the government need to improve its fiscal management planning and to reduce corruption. This is only the immediate health impact, and that is not sufficient. So the needs are much greater. I just give you a number. Even if donors maintain the previous level of funding to Afghanistan, they approved in Brussels 2016, which is around $15 billion for 5 years, even if they keep that level of funding, growth will not reach the pre-COVID-19 projected levels for 2024, which means Afghanistan has already suffered a very serious blow, which requires two basic things: a different approach by the government regarding fiscal management, prioritization, where to spend the money, how to spend the money. Second, different approach by donors, that funding needs to be well targeted with the highest impact possible. And thirdly, if I may say, we need to bring innovative financing to Afghanistan. Afghanistan cannot continue relying on aid, on grants, because grants will no longer be there in the same levels we had before.
So go on, give me one particular project of this so-called innovative funding that's going to turn the situation around, or at least help to do so, in Afghanistan.
UNDP is working on setting up a $250 million trust fund for trade finance, which will achieve an 8% increase in exports and a 1.5% increase in GDP. These are the type of real effective work. We are also setting up a revolving fund for SMEs that can reach the largest number of youth, small and medium-sized enterprises in the country. Of course, we don't do the big projects like the World Bank and the Asian Development Bank, but we can be effective in the bottom-up approaches, that's one, and we can be very effective in supporting the ecosystem for attracting finance to the country, and that's what we are doing at the moment.